Hello, this is Cindy F. Solomon coming to you today on March 21st at 10 a.m. my time in the San Francisco Bay Area. It is 5 o'clock p.m. in London, where our co-host John Newbery is joining us. And it is 10:30 p.m. in Bangalore, India, where our speaker, Pinkesh Shah, is joining us. We are indeed a global talk. This is the Global Product Management Talk. It's a weekly audio broadcast with a simultaneous Twitter chat for product people that don't get a chance to leave their desk and participate in product talks in person with other passionate product professionals and entrepreneurs concerned about the quality of products as well as the entire process involved in the product lifecycle, including design, development, user experience, marketing, launch, innovation, support, and services, and everything else in between. The Global Product Management Talk is curated for product professionals and business owners who want to teach, learn, and network about managing products, including agile practitioners involved with developing, designing, and launching products, and everyone who cares about the entire product management lifecycle process. This week, we are brought to you by the AIPMM, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management, which was founded in 1998 and promotes worldwide excellence in product management education while providing training, education, certification, and professional networking opportunities. The AIPMM is currently developing the ProdBox, the Product Management Body of Knowledge. AIPMM membership benefits include the National Product Management Educational Conference, regional conferences, a career center, peer forums, tools, templates, publications, and eligibility to enroll in the product management, product marketing, and agile product management certification programs. Please visit our sponsor at www.aipmm.com. Please join us on our Twitter chat, which is going on right now, even as I speak, using the hashtag PRODMGMTTALK. We invite your participation on Twitter, and we will mention your tweets and try to continue the conversation for those of you who are not listening. Global Product Management Talk is cross-platform. We are attempting to use best practices and cover all the mediums where people can participate to contribute to the conversation. Welcome people who are on the Twitter chat, the Potenza and Adaptive PM. And at this moment, please give out a tweet to introduce yourself, where you're tweeting from, and what your involvement is. Today, we are talking about managing products in India. The challenges of product management in India and China with our speaker, Pinkesh Shah, who is CEO of Adaptive Marketing. Lots of companies have focused on setting up their development centers in India and China to optimize their cost and achieve scale for their engineering initiatives. As multinational corporations now move from building innovation to enabling these distributed centers in India to productize innovation, they face obstacles in managing the product development remotely and managing the product management ability remotely. Does it make sense to have product management done out of India? What is the real business case for setting up product management and product marketing within India? Our speaker, Pinkesh Shah, is Chief Consultant of Adaptive Marketing Solutions. He is a Silicon Valley executive who has been a product management practitioner for the last 14 years in the United States. Most recently, he was the Global Vice President of Product Management at McAfee, which was then acquired by Intel. Having played a key role in understanding how global products have to be adapted to work in emerging markets, he also started the product management organization in McAfee, India. Before McAfee, he had several senior management roles in product companies like IBM, NetIQ, and launched new products in the high technology space in startups like Netrex and Captivo. He is a gold medalist from MS University, where he earned his bachelor's in engineering and computer science, and a UPE research scholar at Purdue University, where he earned his master's in computer science. He started Adaptive Marketing with a vision to create the next generation of product managers and marketers in India to enable technology, product, and services companies to market their product globally. Hello, Pinkesh.
Hey, Cindy, how are you?
Okay, I'd also like to introduce our co-host, who's John Newbery. And John Newbery has been a frequent Twitter participant at previous Global Product Management Talks. He is a market manager at Tremco, Illbrook, and United Kingdom. He is a B2B marketing professional who is passionate about new technologies, innovative products, and creative thinking. He has 12 years of experience working for leading international organizations where he's enjoyed the full and varied life that the world of business-to-business marketing has to offer. His roles have included product management, marketing strategy, new product development and commercialization, CRM, business development, and channel management, all with a focus on measured contribution to top and bottom line performance. And I am your host, Cindy F. Solomon. I have too many years of experience as an entrepreneur and in the Valley managing software product marketing and new product startup launches, in addition to managing everything in between. We are on Skype. I am in the San Francisco Bay Area, where it is a lovely clear sky day. John, our co-host, is in London, where it is 5 o'clock p.m., and Pinkish is in Bangalore, India, where it is 10:30 p.m. And I appreciate your taking time out from your busy day and your sleep to be with us today.
Oh, believe me, with the days full of meetings, this is the most productive time of the day.
Yes, I understand. So we are indeed broadcasting live. And after the real-time event is over, at the end of the hour, we will edit the recording into a podcast for people to listen on their mobile devices. And they can listen through Stitcher, where we are syndicated, which is a mobile podcast application. And we also have a Prod Management Talk application for the Android. We are on iTunes. So, coming back to the challenges of product management in India and China, we have posted 7 questions to provoke discussion. And before we started recording, John and Pinkish were discussing this issue. So I would like to turn it over to Pinkish to add remarks and to take it away into the conversation.
Awesome. Hey, thanks a lot, Cindy. This is a phenomenal opportunity, as you said, where, you know, we have you in California, you know, John in London, you know, I'm here in India. I mean, in a truly global environment, this is the best way to explain how the world has kind of moved on from, or shrinked rather, into a global fabric where it almost doesn't matter, you know, where you are and where your customers are, as long as you have the right set of functional skills as a product manager to be able to build something that's of value and it can ultimately delight the customer, it really doesn't matter where you are. So it's a good segue into discussing the very topic of today, which is what is the ecosystem in India and China and all these other emerging countries kind of look like when it comes to product management as a discipline, when it comes to product management as a process. And I've had the liberty to now spend the last 18 months in this part of the world squarely focused in researching the state of companies here and helping them kind of mature their process, you know, both MNCs, multinationals who are based out of U.S. and Europe and who have their engineering operations here in India and China, as well as companies out of these countries building software, building products for a global reach right outside from the periphery here in India. So it's an amazing opportunity and glad to be on this global forum that you've created.
Excellent. Thank you. And John?
Yeah, I think, Cindy, the point that you and Pinkish have both made, yeah, we've got you over in sunny California, myself based in London, and Pinkish over in Bangalore. And I think it really demonstrates how product management should be working. Three individuals, if all three of us, for instance, were discussing new product development that we were working on, we've eliminated the geography and the collaborative kind of working that's available through Skype, through email, through various online tools, really make progress possible today that even 4 or 5 years ago would have been challenging. So I think it's exciting times.
I was fortunate to attend Product Camp Vancouver over the weekend. And for those of you who don't know, product camps are unconferences that usually occur for a day on a weekend where product managers come together and share their knowledge. Anyone is invited and encouraged to do a presentation. And actually, it's not a presentation. It's an interactive session where someone will basically say, this is what I'm interested in. Let me share with you what I know. What do you know? What can you add to this? And really, Product Camp is what inspired the Global Product Management Talk. Product Camps are local. I'm fortunate to be able to fly to ones that are not too far away, but there are product managers who don't have that capability, and I wanted to expand the opportunity to share in a real-time event. When I was in Vancouver, I met Edna Menon, who was very involved in putting on Product Camp Vancouver, which was a beautiful city, wonderful community, and I certainly came away with a lot. She said that she has had the privilege of working with remote R&D teams based in India and Europe. While working in global teams is fun, time zones, cultural differences, etc., can create serious challenges. It makes sense to have product managers based in India and China, as market requirements can be quickly clarified by R&D when the product owner is accessible in person. However, product marketing should be based closer to the target market. As China and India are becoming major consumers of North American products due to their growing economies, it also makes sense to have product marketing based there if the target market is primarily Asian. Previously, back in November, we had a speaker, Brandy Moore, who is an expert on BRIC cultures, who actually does trainings for how managers and companies, corporations, can orient their thinking and their perspective in understanding how to deal with outsourcing in the BRIC countries. One page of resources and links that people can review for additional learning after the event.
That's a great point, and I do agree with, I think, the comments made by the product management expert, the volunteer you met at the product camp. And if I were to summarize, you know, essentially the reasons for having product management in India and China, it almost comes down to the case, right? And I literally mean the business case for product managers in these countries is literally coming down to case, C-A-S-E. So C is for context. This is something that you alluded to earlier. We're sitting in at about 30% of the world's R&D resources for high-tech companies, which are based out of U.S. and Europe, have their engineering resources in India. Now, it makes perfect sense to have product managers, whether they're building new products or managing existing product portfolios, to provide the right context, the right business context, the right market context, the right customer context, the right competitive context to the engineering leaders who are ensuring to build not just the right things, but also build it the right way, right? So the first C in the case is really context. And that's an amazing, you know, opportunity for a lot of product management to sit next to the product engineering teams, and proximity matters a lot. The second part is the affordability. This is the A part of the case, right? So the affordability is very straightforward. We, in fact, recently conducted a survey, and part of the market research that we did here in India for the first time, we released that report at NASSCOM, and we tried to look into the insights of what product management and the product management community even looks like from a ground reality perspective in India. Turns out, and by the way, you can download the copy of that research report from our website at www.adaptivemarketing.in, and Cindy will probably make that link available over Twitter and other places for those who are interested. So the survey highlighted something very interesting, that the average salary for folks here in India who's in a product management role is roughly about 25 lakhs Indian rupees. That translates to about $50,000 US. Now, if you compare and contrast this to the cost of an average PM in the U.S., it's roughly about $125,000-$130,000. So cost is a big factor, you know, from a scale perspective, as a reason, as a driver for product management set up in India. So that's the A part, the affordability part of the case. Third reason is the S. The S is for the scale. This is something that we see where, as we all know, product management is a very multifaceted orchestrating role where we're having multiple stakeholders. It's almost impossible for teams sometimes to, in the U.S., to do everything that they always should do or wanted to do, but they just couldn't, just from a bandwidth perspective. So setting up a product management team in India, the third driver is really scale. This is to address the execution gap that teams in U.S. Might have, and they're just not having enough bandwidth. So how do you extend your product management functionality capabilities in another part of the world, which helps you to scale better? Right? So that's kind of the third driver. And the fourth one, which is very obvious and often the most important one, in my opinion, is the E. And the E is for the emerging markets, right? So, you know, we all know that same candy, you know, new wrap doesn't really always work, right? So just because a product is successful in U.S. doesn't mean that it's naturally going to become successful when you launch that in emerging markets, especially countries like China, Russia, and Latin America, where the market is very different, the customer perception of value is very different, and the process of delighting them is definitely different. So how do you then capitalize on these fast-growing emerging markets, which in some cases they're growing twice as fast as some of the European or the U.S. markets? How do you capitalize on that opportunity? So it makes perfect sense, again, to have skilled product management practitioners kind of co-reside closely in the customer's proximity in these regions to better understand their market problems, to better understand and develop the right set of solutions, truly delight them. So in my opinion, long story short, case for product managers or product marketing in India is really CASE, context, affordability, scale, and emerging markets. So kind of a long answer to your short question, Cindy, but I hope that makes sense.
Yes, so case affordability, and I think I captured it in tweets. Yes, that makes sense. But also easier said than done. Because there is a business case for it doesn't always mean that you can implement effectively.
Absolutely. Yeah, nothing is as easy as it sounds, obviously. But boy, if everything was so easy, there would be no fun in life. There's certainly challenges. And one of the things that we've kind of learned, in fact, my experience with the whole, you know, product management came about when I was asked to set up a product management organization in our India center about 3 years ago. I kind of flew down from California thinking, boy, as you said, it sounds, you know, how hard can it be? You go hire a few product managers, get them oriented towards the company process and the specific product management processes that a particular company has, and you kind of get going. Turns out that 9 weeks later, and after literally a couple hundred resumes, a couple dozen of interviews, I couldn't hire anybody. And the problem lies in with two facts, as I now look back upon 3 years ago, is that, you know, the notion of product management and the baseline of what product managers do is certainly very different, certainly was very different in India than it is what we're used to in the U.S. So I finally gave up, as I couldn't find and hire anybody, despite getting the best of the B schools in India who were producing great talent. But again, in our opinion, they were fairly generalist and not so much kind of ready to take on a product management responsibility. So we finally took some internal guys, sent them to a finishing school, pretty similar to now what we've started here in India with adaptive marketing. And so we sent them back to U.S. At the time, there was nothing in this part of the world, and started our product management organization. So certainly the notion of what a product manager should do has been primarily more requirements management, more product planning driven, as opposed to full business ownership. Now, things have evolved since the last 3 years, and things are looking much better, but definitely there's a gap in terms of the skill sets when you compare apples to apples, when I look at our product management teams in the U.S. versus that in India. Now, is that kind of similar to what you're seeing, John, in your part of the world?
Yeah, I think it is. It certainly is. This is something we touched on just before going live, that product management is one term that encompasses a whole array of occupations and responsibilities and functions within a company. And, you know, when I think the acronym that you've just run through, CASE, really demonstrates the reason behind that. You know, if each of those elements is different, which of course it will be from organization to organization, then the role of a product manager in that organization will be significantly different. So, it's kind of a common theme that we see here across Europe and I guess over in the U.S. as well.
Yeah, so I find even here that the notion of what product management is varies from company depending on size, industry, even the maturity of their product line and how many products they have. I was at a B2B digital marketing conference yesterday, and everything I heard those marketing people, which who were VPs from big companies like HP and IBM, they sounded to me like product marketing people in terms of recognizing that they had to manage the customer experience and guarantee that the product met with the customer expectations. It really sounded to me, now certainly my filter these days is everything goes through my product management listening.
Yeah.
But I have been attending those kinds of events for years, and it's really the first time that I felt that everyone in the organization who isn't the developer or the sales is becoming a product manager to some degree. They're recognizing that to be effective and to keep their companies competitive, they have to think holistically and in ways of how they can contribute to the process and break down the silos.
Yeah, I think very well said. Like I was saying earlier, I think we're seeing the same observation here, and I had the same observation in the U.S. when we used to lead teams the last dozen years or so that I've been involved in this particular role. I think this whole notion, as we were talking earlier with John, is this whole definition of product management as a term is sometimes, you know, too narrowly interpreted as a product manager title. Now, product manager title is definitely an important part, but there's a whole product management process. And so it's everybody's responsibility. It's everybody's job, so to speak, to participate as much as they can in this whole productizing journey. What you see is that the way we look at the productizing process is very straightforward, Cindy. So we have five kind of what we call the functional phases. First is market analysis and customer research, right?
Okay.
So this is the most important part.
Phase one is market analysis.
And customer research, right? So this is the phase where everything from how do you understand what market problems are out there, what is the real pain point versus the perceived pain point, is this a problem worth solving, are people willing to pay, do people have the ability to pay, all of that analysis, what is that right fit iteratively. And if you follow the lean model, you know, how do you go back and forth with the customer to figure out that this is the real market problem out there? So that whole area is what we kind of characterize in our first phase of what we call market analysis. The second phase of our productizing process is strategic planning. Now, this is where you evolve the thinking beyond just the kind of prototype, beyond just the market validation of the idea, to start building the business plan. Is this worth building? Is this going to be meeting the objectives of the business, whether that might be profitability, whether it's user adoption? If it's Google, you're probably more interested in making sure that the product has a very high concentration of user base that you can attract. If you're a traditional enterprise company, you're going to talk about profitability. Whatever the metric might be, what is our product strategy? And how do you formulate all of that as part of this strategic planning phase? The third phase is product planning. Now, in the product planning phase, you're essentially involved in making sure you're building it with the right scope, with the right roadmap. And this is where requirements management, scope management, project management kind of kicks in. A lot of development process and methodologies, whether it's agile or waterfall, the usability, the information architecture from a user experience design perspective. You know, all of these are very important to consider in different aspects of this phase, which we call product planning. So that's the third phase. The fourth phase is go-to-market. And this is all about what are the best routes to market. Now, you've built the product, but how do you ensure that the right message is communicated to the right audience at the right time with the right channel? Now, that's not an easy thing to do. Now, in the new world of social media, and as we were chatting earlier about, you know, the how Twitter and this very talk, which is organizing three folks from three different parts of the globe and still making it all happen, the amount of channels available to communicate, to engage with customers are almost exponentially growing. And so the go-to-market becomes a very interesting dilemma, a very interesting challenge than what it used to just 3 years ago. Certainly very, very different than what it used to be 10 years ago. So the old rules don't apply anymore. We are in an adaptive model now. things have evolved, things are changing, and so it's very important to leverage the social media and the rest of the emerging models to be able to do this effectively when you want to do go-to-market.
I want to welcome Potenza, who is participating on Twitter. He's Mayank Kishore. He said, yes, the past 10 years, it's changed, and I've been watching it from the beginning of the web. Broadband availability made a significant difference. And in the past 3 years, I was going to ask you, did you mean mobile? But obviously you meant social media. Are you seeing the impact of mobile? Yes.
I think we are. So you look at different vectors, different channels of communication. There's a whole phenomenon of what we call consumerization of IT. And so what has happened is that our near and dear devices called the laptops are essentially getting very quickly replaced by this new generation tablets, right? So you look at iPad, you look at a lot of that, you know, tablets, which are kind of getting released in the marketplace. And so what's happening is that the notion of information radiation is very different than it is 10 years ago, right? So, you know, you're constantly connected. You have access to data at your fingertips through the mobile devices, through the mobile media. You're a lot more connected than ever before in terms of not just your social networks, but also professional. Professionally, you're a lot more active thanks to channels like LinkedIn. And so the point is that the amount of channels available to communicate and engage with your end customer is just exponentially rising. And so that itself allows you to now A, scale, B, at the same time, relook at your strategy on how you do a go-to-market. And so it's very different. And the skills are changing across the board. It's nothing to do with U.S. versus India. You know, a product manager sitting in U.S. who used to rely on doing face-to-face visits. In one of my previous companies, we had a strict rule that every product manager has to at least visit customers on-site 4 times a quarter, minimum. Right now, in the enterprise space, 4 times a quarter might have been a good metric in the past. With the advent of social media, I think that number has gone up to 40. And that too without, by the way, lifting yourself up from the chair and logging all those flight hours, burning all the travel budget to be able to get to the same kind of details. So that's kind of the change that we're seeing, Cindy.
Yes, and I am seeing that recognition across the board. Even in companies that you would think would be entrenched in traditional marketing approaches.
Yes, absolutely. Cindy, I think that's a really important word you just dropped in, is marketing. I think even a few years ago, product managers were really, really dependent on marketing to gain access to customer insight. As Pinkish, as you've been saying, with the advent of social media, product managers now have a very direct access to intelligence from the market. So in terms of speed, in terms of quality, and in terms of access, all of these things are now available to us as product managers, which maybe 3-4 years ago would have been a much bigger challenge.
Yeah, and I think that's the key point of what you just hit upon, John, which is, you know, the scalability of your market research process is essentially gone up by a factor of 10 at least, in my opinion. So with the advent of all the channels available, everything from Quora to LinkedIn to Twitter to Facebook, there's just amazing ways to tap in to get those customer insights, which is essentially the crux of product management when it comes to figuring out the right market problem and latching on to them to build the right delighting solution. The scale with which you can do this is much better. And that's where the whole notion and the whole discussion is so timely, in our opinion, with this India and China story, that why now, right? You know, engineering companies have set up their engineering centers in India and China, you know, almost 10 years ago. You look at every single large high-tech venture, everybody from Cisco to Intel, to McAfee, Informatica, Lucent, Ericsson. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's hardly any credible, you know, kind of high-tech, large venture out in the U.S. who does not have a presence in India. So what's making this catalyst to think about, to set up product management in India now? And I think that's the key thing of what we've been discussing, which is, you know, social media. The scale with which you can do the market research and get to that customer insights independent of the geography, right? Independent of where your customers are to some extent. At least it's feasible. Now, it's not the perfect solution. There is no substitution, in my opinion, to face-to-face interviews and face-to-face discussions. However, depends on what kind of business you're in. If you're in the online business, it's almost impossible even for a product manager sitting in Google, you know, headquarters in California to meet, 5,000 people in a quarter anyway. So you have to resort to more scalable ways. And in those scenarios, how does it matter whether the product manager actually sits in India, China, or U.S.? As long as he or she is skilled to apply the best practices, to apply the functional knowledge of how to gather and analyze customer insights, and can leverage the social media channels.
Did you just say, because of social media, it doesn't matter where product management is situated?
So that's certainly a catalyst, is what I'm saying. While it might have been extremely difficult to do this role maybe 3 years ago, the social media is acting as an amazing catalyst, which is accelerating the efficiency, accelerating the efficacy of product managers who are sitting from remote parts and might not be necessarily having that kind of proximity to the customers that the U.S.-based product managers might have had or might have enjoyed.
Do you find that in your experience to be true, John?
I certainly do, yes. Yeah. And the other thing I think which we can add to that is affordability. Which was one of the parts of the case format. In the UK, I've got customers right on my doorstep. I only have to travel 5 or 10 miles to cover a number of customers. But even then, with the geography not being an issue, the cost of doing that compared to the same sort of coverage on social media is very different. So, yeah, I really agree with Pinkish that social media has created new opportunities and has certainly put geography down the list of things to worry about.
So to finish up the thought that we started earlier, Cindy, and kind of your observation about how more and more people are seemingly involved in this productizing process, right? So I was kind of listing the five things, right? So just for bringing back the context, the kind of five phases are market analysis. And the key question there is choosing to build. How do you choose out of the many great ideas that we have or that the customers give us or the engineers give us or the management team gives us, which ones to go after? So that's the fundamental question you're answering, choosing to build. The second part of the productizing process is strategic planning. And so the key question here is, can you build it profitably? Or can you build it to the metrics that your company is expecting? Third one is product planning. Key question you're answering here is, can you build it? Can you build it the right way? Do you have the skill sets? Do we have the right DNA? Do we have the right innovation, the right design, the right user experience to delight the customer and build it right? And then the fourth one is go-to-market, where we talked a lot about social media, routes to market. And then the last one is, fifth one, is sales enablement, which is how do you set up a channel, right? At the end of the day, you can build great value, can communicate that great value, but at the end of the day, you have to deliver that value. Everything from the delivery ecosystem to the channels to partnerships. So ultimately, that customer needs to get delighted, and it's the entire user experience that matters. So the fifth one is, how do you systematically set up a process in your company, a small or big startup, whether you're a larger company? The whole sales enablement part is a very important part, productizing process. And so as you can realize, on one spectrum you have engineering, they're building stuff. On the other spectrum you have sales, who's kind of actually executing the sales side of it. And there's this whole productizing process, which everybody needs to be really part of. And so that's why it's a very, very challenging, a very critical role, as we all know, product management. A good product manager is a very good orchestrator across all these five phases.
Excellent. That's a great way to define it. At the Potenza says, a good product is one which gives all control settings to the user. The best product management practice follows the same. So I think he has more to say in regards to the statement you said about the entire user experience matters. Ultimately, the customer has to be delighted. And I think that is why people become product managers or find themselves doing product management, to connect all the dots in the process from development out to market. And I am seeing that everyone in the organization is recognizing that because of social media, because everyone can see the response from the customer. Now, does everyone in the organization have the ability to affect the product? Not to the same degree as product management, who can influence specifically, who we have the tools and the access to influence. Everyone else may have the awareness of what the issues are and the concern with the customer, but they don't have the tools to guarantee that the product gets out there correctly.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think even to add to what you're saying, it's not just that the rest of the organization doesn't have the tools. In my opinion, it's the biggest thing that the product management brings to the table is the context of the customer, right? And so that maniacal focus on how to delight the customer by providing a compelling value proposition, a complete user experience that delights them. It's really hard for other parts of the organization to get that full context, the full grasp on it. And so while they might be involved in one piece of the puzzle, it's really why I call the product manager the master orchestrator. Because at the end of the day, a good product manager knows how to get things done through a cross-functional team, even though he or she might not be the expert on individual functions that are necessary to make a delighting product.
Yes.
One term that, Pinkish, I think you've used a number of times in the last few minutes is user experience. And I 100% agree. It's absolutely vital that as product managers, we, of course, everyone can feed into that. But I think ultimately product managers have an overall guardianship of that user experience because of the insight that they've got access to. I had a product manager role for over 12 years, and it's really only in the last couple of years that UX, user experience, or user interface have become mainstream terminology within product management. So I think it's a big move, and it's an important one, and it's certainly the correct one.
I think that's, again, going back to why we feel that we live in an adaptive world, is because the old rules don't apply. I mean, it's just as simple as that, right? So,
yep,
you know,
sure.
the usability might have been a nice-to-have feature, perhaps, you know, 10 years ago. When in some enterprise companies, without naming names, of course, even 5 years ago, they might have seen that as a kind of nice-to-have. It's almost like a critical component of your product. It's not just a icing on the cake anymore. You know, the usability, the user interface design, the information architecture. I mean, all of these concepts are baked into your development process for generating that right user experience. And that is a product manager's job to make sure that that gets done. So if you look at the kind of definition or the context of the skill sets that a product manager had even 5 years ago that was considered sufficient, it is no longer sufficient in the new world. And so that's why I strongly believe that we're constantly living in this kind of changing world. And because of that, the product management function has evolved and will probably continue to do so. Even though the functional skills remain the same, the application and where you focus is certainly going to be a fairly progressive, and it's always a constant learning.
Excellent. So our participant at the Potenza is Mayank, and he is in product management based out of India. First question that we had posted, how mature is the ecosystem of product management as discipline in India? And he had an opinion on that. The discipline of product management in India is as mature, robust, and at par with global growth locations, if not better. Do you agree with that, Pinkish?
We always introduce ourselves over an email, and so I use this word, good to e-meet you. I guess since we're meeting over Twitter, good to t-meet you now, if that's a term that we can invent today here. I do agree. I think if you look at the maturity of, specifically coming back to the context of India, you know, the maturity of product management is evolving. Product management as a process is fairly centric around product planning. So if I were to map it back to the five functional phases that we talked about, a lot of product management gets discussed and practiced in India in the context of product planning, specifically requirements management, agile from a product owner perspective, the scope management, project management, scheduling, user story evaluations, acceptance planning, all of that. When you go away from the product planning into other areas like market analysis, like strategic planning, very few companies and very few product managers in those very few companies, especially large MNCs, actually have the maturity to do the full spectrum product management. Right, that's kind of unfortunate to some extent, but it's also not surprising because, again, India has been primarily seen as a traditionally set up as a optimizing value with low cost engineering resources. It was the kind of genesis of how this whole thing started, and so the centers have now moved and evolved from there. So obviously, the evolution of product management is also going to be lagging behind a few years compared to what we see in the U.S. Now, on the other hand, what's exciting and interesting to see is that the same is not true for product companies which are based out of India, which are originated out of India and are serving global products. So, for example, many of you who are listening to this might not know, but there's a company called Fusion Charts. Now, Fusion Charts is one of those, you know, charting packages that thousands and thousands of developers have used or embedded in their products to build very nice interactive charts in their products, similar to your Crystal Reports or other things. Now, while this is a global company with thousands of customers, very few will actually know that this company is completely born and originated out of a tier two city here in India, right? And so I can show several such examples where there are Indian companies completely born out of India and have crossed $1 billion in valuations or in market cap. And so in that segment, the product management is a lot more mature. Product management is obviously, you know, spanning across the entire spectrum of from market analysis to strategic planning to product planning to go-to-market and sales enablement. So that's kind of the mixed model that we're living and we're seeing in countries like India and China, where the multinationals are still evolving and are evolving very fast, I should say. And then the local companies which are building global products have no choice but to catalyze themselves and accelerate the maturity of their product management organization.
Excellent. I want to welcome Nimish Gupta, who is a security professional. I believe that he is also in India. We had posted questions out at Replies, which is a startup that enables you to post questions and let people answer. He has answered the first two questions. Second question had been, what types of companies have product managers in India? And he says, pretty much any company building products for the Indian Asian markets, and additionally, the US/EMEA-based product companies with a growing or mature engineering organization in India. And what is the acronym EMEA?
So EMEA is Europe, Middle East, and Africa.
And BRIC is Brazil, Russia, India, and China.
That's right. I think we need an app for all the acronyms translations.
Yes. Well, I do.
Which we have.
I do try and capture them when I do a recap of the event. Is it something unique to product managers that we love acronyms?
Oh, absolutely. We're just lazy. We're just so lazy, typers that we're so comfortable with Twitter for the same reason. Because boy, it only restricts you to type in about 120, and it won't let you type anymore.
And it forces you to be concise.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about the impetus for product management in India, but not so much the details of the business of product management in India. Is there anything that you want to speak to and then summarize in terms of the questions that we had initially posted? And also, the offer is always open to come back and continue the conversation.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things that is also something that we've been researching now in the last 18 months as we've consulted with 35 plus large US-based, Europe-based companies who have set up their product management process or who are in the process setting up the product management teams in India. So our learning has been, if I try to summarize it into a few things, the ground challenges that I see for product management in India, especially in the context of a US-based company who's trying to set up a team or who has some engineering operations, would be a few, right? So the first one is clearly what we've talked about, customer intimacy. And this is interesting because obviously in most cases, the bulk of the customers for a US-based corporation or a Europe-based corporation is going to be in US or Europe. Traditionally, that has been the case. And so the product manager, you know, while is helping increase the productivity by co-deciding with the engineering here, is certainly away from the market, is away from the customer. That poses a little bit of additional challenge in terms of how can the product manager develop their ecosystem. You know, social media certainly helps, but there are certain things that, and there are certain limitations of social media as well. So, you know, how can the product manager kind of get a true pulse of what's happening in the market? At the end of the day, that's their job, right, to figure out and get the right insights about the market problems which are worth solving. So that remains to be a challenge. And what exacerbates that challenge is the time zone difference, obviously, the ability to travel as often as maybe a local product manager can do, you know, because obviously that costs time, money, energy, inclination, capacity for the product manager to be able to do this. You know, more than once a quarter, it's really difficult for somebody sitting in China to take a transatlantic flight or a transpacific flight and spend 24 hours just to get to speak to a customer for 1 hour, right? So it seems like a big overhead when you do this frequently. So that's certainly one challenge. The second challenge that I see a lot is the whole organizational enablement. And so this is more of a practical challenge where, you know, the product management executive management team in the U.S. have not thought it through. And so they set up these product management teams without having a long-term plan, without having a strategy. So what ends up happening is that, yes, you have a few product managers in India, but the amount of control and the amount of influence they actually have is very little. And so that kind of defeats the purpose when you put a product manager and the product manager does not have much visibility beyond just requirements management. And by the way, that's the statistic. So, Cindy, you asked me earlier, and I just posted on the Twitter chat as well the actual market research
report. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Certainly feel free to download it, and anybody who wants more details can see it. But one of the things that we found in the report is 71% of a product manager's time on an average in India is spent on requirements management. Right? Now, that's an alarmingly high number. You know, if you're spending 71% of your time in just inbound engineering-related, requirements-related, where is the time left to actually gather customer insights, to look at the broader spectrum of product management? So that's a challenge. Third challenge is, in my opinion, more of a practical challenge of critical mass. You have, you know, 2,000 engineers in a facility in China or India with maybe 5 product managers, right? So you don't have a critical mass for who you are, and so what ends up happening is you sometimes get lost in translation. You sometimes get lost in noise because everybody else around you is more like an engineering heavyweight, and sometimes you lose that identity of being a product manager. And the second thing is that, you know, your rest of your management team is in the U.S., your peers are in the U.S., and so that, again, gives you this challenge or a lack of strong peer connect. So that's another challenge we see. And then the last one that I see a lot when I've talked to at least, 400, 500 product managers face-to-face directly that I've interacted in the last, 9 months or so, it's this whole lack of well-defined career path. Right? Where do I go from here? TPM, technical PM, or associate PM, you know, then I become a PM. You know, in the U.S., we have well-defined ladder path. So you go from PM to senior PM to group PM to director of PM to potentially a senior director, VP, and then eventually a general manager or CEO. That's the ultimate career path for a PM. Now, we haven't seen that much success stories in India yet. And so people often wonder, hey, you know, what's going to happen to my career path if I choose to go in this ladder? And so obviously the lack of awareness, the lack of training, the lack of functional skills, you know, necessary to move up in the ladder Again, all of these are exacerbating the situation around the career path. So these are the kind of core ground challenges that I see, Cindy, specifically to India and China, that we've been able to understand and go and get deeper insights into because of our physical presence here.
Excellent. Nimish Gupta is now jumping on all the questions to answer as we have come to the end of the hour. By way of inclusion, he says that product management in India is still in its infancy. It's off to a good start, but it has a long way to go. And in answer to, are there best practices identified for setting up product management in India? He says to treat it very similar to building a product team anywhere in the globe, with the exception of a slightly higher travel budget. Hire the right folks and ensure the team is empowered to be true owners and masters of their product's destiny. And yes, best practices, easier said than done, however.
Absolutely. I completely agree with what Nimish is saying here. And if I were to summarize this into three practical tips that I would give to any U.S.-based product management executive who's thinking about setting up a product management team in India or China, or who already has one and wants to foster and make them more productive, it would be really three things. One is have a three-year horizon and a scale plan. Setting up a product management team with one or two guys might be a great start, but you need to know the right reason for why you're doing this. Cost can't be the only one. It really needs to go back to the case, right? Where you have the context, the affordability, the skill, and the emerging markets. I mean, that's really the four reasons of building or literally the case. And so it can't be just the cost. So have a three-year horizon plan. Second, you know, align it with other parts of the corporate strategy. That's one thing that I have learned, the lesson as I've set up the team in India, you know, sitting from U.S., my lesson learned is, boy, it sounds great on the surface to do something quickly, but if you don't give it the right thought, you know, all these ground challenges will consume you and that investment will not give you a high return. And the last one, as Nimish said, is that, look, boy, if you're really putting together a global product management team, treat them no different than it's a product management team in the U.S., except make sure that they have a budget from a training perspective. They have a budget from a travel perspective, just like every other product manager has in the U.S. They should not be treated differently or as a special case. So would love to help anybody who's thinking about doing this. You can reach out to Cindy, you can reach out to us, and would love to help U.S. companies who are kind of looking at the India and China as a market for them to set up the product management process.
Thank you so much for speaking today. You covered so much. I learned quite a bit, even though, as I said, we had our previous speaker who really was focused on the cultural differences. And so I appreciate your adding depth to the specific issues around product management. And thank you for the additional market research. I will add that to our list of resources. We do try and cover all the social media venues. Thank you to John Newbery for jumping in as our co-host from London.
Pleasure, Cindy.
Even though you have an Aussie accent, I sent out a tweet to our colleagues and brainmates who are sleeping now, certainly represented the Australian interest.
Flew the flag.
Yes. I did capture quite a lot of information, and I expect that this is a conversation that will continue on Twitter as people retweet and see what we were discussing and listen to the audio. I will encourage people to blog their insights and continue to answer the questions that are posted out on replies.
Glad to be on the show and would love to participate and help in any way I can in the future.
Yeah, so on the long roadmap for the Global Product Management Talk is to do virtual product camps that would enable real-time participation of a global audience with product managers who are situated everywhere. And, of course, timing will be a challenge because we can't yet transcend the time parameters, but we can make it as real-time as possible. Thank you again to our sponsor, the Association of International Product Management and Marketing, who is available at www.aipmm.com. Check out their weekly webinars and trainings. And please join us again next week. If you go to our website at www.prodmgmttalk.com, you will see who the speaker lineup in our speaker calendar. We have speakers scheduled out through June. And also, if you follow us on blogtalkradio.com/prodmanagementtalk, you will get reminders of our upcoming podcasts and broadcasts. We also have added some pure audio programs, Startup Talk Radio, where we're talking with the people behind startups, and also Tools of the Trade, where we talk with the software and services companies that are making tools to enable product managers to do their job with more ease, as well as Product Camp Radio, where we interview the people, participants, and presenters from the various product camps to get a sense of the different flavors of the product camps in the different communities. This is Cindy S. Solomon. Thank you again to our speaker, Pinka Shah of Adaptive Marketing, and our co-host, John Newberry of @JohnNewberry_. I look forward to continuing the conversation on Twitter. Please follow Prod Management Talk. Thank you so much.